Oh, man, it is a busy Wednesday here on the Horn. This guy just summed it up, said, tradition for the holidays, guys, to have my first drink after what I'm most thankful for that day. I just cracked a beer after that blitz. So it's nice job. Thankful for the blitz. Nice job.
Maybe one of the most horrifying blitzes I've ever heard. And lately, it's been like, I'm saying that like once a week now. You guys are lighting it up. And whew.
Yeah, man.
Man.
Hey, so I actually have had ambrosia before. I just didn't know that's what it was called.
That's what it's called, yeah.
The fruit salad with marshmallows.
Coconut and marshmallow.
Yeah, I don't like it.
I bypass that.
But I do like, when you fire up like the Yacht Rock choice on your Pandora, you get the great band Ambrosia.
Yeah, you do.
Out of Los Angeles, California.
You know I like that music, right?
Yeah, then you'd love Yacht Rock.
Yeah.
Gotta choose Yacht Rock anyway.
That's right. You're playing a little bit of that tomorrow during dinner time. Some deviled eggs. Yes, sir. Yep. Play me some Charlie Wilson, and I'll play that
there. Did the Texas Cheaters play that yesterday on their golf cart when it's time for some licking?
No, they did not. Okay. I tried to end it, and it wouldn't end. It's the gift that just tried to keep on giving yesterday for Thanksgiving, but it's over. I was getting after this morning, right? A little bit of music this morning. I had some oldies start playing.
Not Ambrosia.
No, not Ambrosia. I was playing the Carpenters this morning. And as I told Zay, please tell your dad, I know he used to listen to The Fifth Dimension.
All right, there you go. There's some Yacht Rock for you. I don't know if it's on a Wednesday to get you into your weekend. I don't know if it's a good song.
Right, it's a good song.
Easy listening.
You know what it reminds me of?
What?
Christopher Cross. Who's here locally, right?
Yeah. Is he still alive, Christopher Cross?
Yeah, Christopher Cross still making music. And I think he's living in, is it Round Rock or Austin? That dude still makes music. Round shoulder young man.
Oh, boy.
You know? But he's still making music.
Your round shoulders. Hey, so we'll get back into some college football. We also have this. We said that this was our B&E fact of the day today. We always have that 6:55 into 7 o'clock, and we tease your brain a little bit, and then you decide if you can guess the answer. And today's was first radio broadcast of a play-by-play of a college football game happened on this day 100 years ago on November the 25th, and it happened to be Texas playing Texas A&M in a college football game. It was the first time they ever put it on a radio, and it was on WTAW. And the great Craig Way just peeked his head in and told us that WTAW, the call letters stand for Where the Aggies Win, because that station is in College Station, Texas.
Wow.
WTAW, Where the Aggies Win. It was 100 years ago today, and says here, during which Texas University beat the Aggies of Texas A&M by a score of 7-3.
Really?
Yeah.
For a national championship? No national championship on the line, just a regular game.
Just a game.
Just a game.
The game. 100 years ago.
Yeah,
Texas and Texas A&M.
It was
and it was a 7-3 game. It was broadcast.
But it was not the first football game play. It was the first one broadcast.
First one on a radio.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. The radio was
awesome.
There. So there you go. That was 100 years ago today. And you can find more on that in oldradio.org. It's a great website if you're looking for old radio facts.
Christopher Cross almost died from the COVID.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, this guy said he may have just killed off Christopher Cross. I didn't mean to.
No,
he's trying to.
He's local. He's a local dude.
Well, so college football playoff rankings were out last night. And speaking of local musicians, we'll have Tom Gimbel coming up bottom of the hour with our live music update. We'll get his thoughts on the Grammy Awards announced yesterday, the nominations with the Black Pumas right here from Austin, Texas, who we've had on the live music update before, nominated for Best Album and Best Record, which is pretty cool. But let me mention on the college football playoffs, Buck, I mean, I compared it earlier to these Fix It Up shows. You like watching Fixer Upper, right?
I do.
Chip and JoJo. And you know, at the end, the reveal is always beautiful. It always looks great. Everybody loves their house. Everybody cries, and it's a great moment. But it takes an hour to get there because they got to build in all this drama and what could happen and what does happen. And, you know, it's a house rebuild. I always tell my wife, this could be 30 minutes. What do I need all this stuff for? Just get to the end. I want to see it.
Nice old homes down here in Waco that they redo, don't they?
I know. Well, now, and typically with the college football playoff, it's the same thing. Every week there's this drama. It's who's getting hosed and who's getting, you know, who's getting the shaft. And it usually works out, right? At the end, everyone's happy. The reveal comes out, the final four teams. There's very few times has there been real controversy. I think TCU and Baylor was the biggest one back when the Big 12 decided to go to a Big 12. Actually, though, in those fixer-upper shows,
yeah,
You ever see the show, what was it called, Flip or Flop? Now, there was actual drama on that show.
That was Christina.
Yeah, that was the guy Tariq, and they were
Christina, yeah.
And they were out in California, and she's really hot, and she ended up having an affair with the contractor, like in real life.
And then she ended up marrying that dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, apparently I was reading, like, People magazine, like, he shot up a house or something.
That dude Tariq is a little bit of a... Tariq, or whatever his name is, a little bit of a
Tariq
jerk.
Al-Musa?
Yeah, Al-Musa is a little bit of a jerk.
Well, yeah, so here it is, this show, this reality show. They're fixing up houses, doing, buying and flopping them and flipping them and whatever. And she's ending up, she's like getting on with the contractor. That's some real drama now. Now, that doesn't happen in Chip and JoJo's show.
There's a lot of contractors out of my new place. I need to ask questions for the Thanksgiving holiday.
Well, I guess
what's up?
Christina fell for the... For the contractor, yeah. She needed to upgrade.
Yep. Well, now, for the driveway fixer guy, probably.
The driveway fixer guy.
Yeah.
Oh, the HGTV hit series Flip or Flop. Now, that doesn't happen on Chip and JoJo's show.
No, they got a couple kids.
What about these Property Brother guys? They causing dramas?
No, I don't even want to start on that with those two dudes, okay? I do that with my wife, and she says, no, they're not. I said, they're all, no. She said, no, they're not.
They're both married.
Good. Yes. Yes.
But so, you know what I mean about the drama, right? So they build the drama in so that people stick with it, and then at the end...
I like Love It or Leave It or whatever that is.
Love It or List It.
Love It or List It. That's my show.
I don't like that show.
Why? You don't like the...
I don't like any of them.
The foreign lady from the other...
Because they don't need to take an hour. That's the whole point. They don't need to take an hour. It's like build up... Oh, no, look, the water pipe broke. Oh, no, the backsplash didn't come in on time. We're screwed. Well, no, you're not. At the end, it's a TV show. It's going to look beautiful. I know how this
goes. I got some wonderful ideas from those shows for my house. I did.
I know you did.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're worthless, but it is like the college football playoffs and that there's all this drama that really isn't there. So,
okay, I know we're talking college. Can I say this? One more thing about Chip and JoJo?
Yes.
All right, listen. They're gazillionaires because I've been to their place down in
Magnolia,
Waco.
Yeah.
Everybody goes there. But listen, can't they do a better job than to pull that little cardboard thing when the house is done and they pull that thing back?
That's kind of their deal.
It's kind of corny.
Well, they used to have the guy Ty Pennington, would go move that bus. Remember they'd move that bus?
Yeah. God, did we watch some bad show? Move that bus.
If you're
bus.
Married, you end up watching bad shows.
That's true.
And, but so to compare it to college football, that's what this is, right? It's at the end, it's going to work out. But week to week for TV ratings and ESPN, we have to argue over who's got screwed and who didn't and whatnot.
Right.
But so in this case, what can we reveal and glean from last night's first rankings? Alabama's number one. And here's what I'll say for this. If Alabama can, if they make the SEC title game, they play Auburn Saturday, they can lose in the SEC title game and still get in.
For sure.
And that way, so if Florida meets Alabama in the SEC title game and neither suffers another loss, and Florida were to win that game with Kyle Trask, who may win the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, Roll Tide's still in.
They're both in. Because then Alabama's a one-loss team. They'd be compared to the other one-loss teams like A&M. And
how does the SEC do this every year? The winner of that game gets to play the loser. It's incredible.
It's a good conference. Let's be fair to that. I think it's overrated from time to time. But Alabama is really, really good. And the goal of the College Football Playoff Committee is to get the best four teams.
That's right.
And I think Alabama's one of the best four teams. And that was, you know, when they come out last night, they're number one. Number two is Notre Dame. Okay, so now you got Notre Dame. And if they were to win out and beat Clemson, they're in, obviously. Right? Now they've got North Carolina on Friday. And that's a big game. They've also got Clemson again coming in the ACC championship game, most likely. Clemson will play, who's Clemson got this week? Pittsburgh, the mm-hmm. Panthers. Let me play this scenario out. Because if Alabama gets to Florida and Alabama beats Florida, Alabama's in, Florida's out. But Florida beats Alabama, okay. They're both in. If Clemson beats Notre Dame in the ACC title game, if neither suffers a loss between now and then on December 19th, can Notre Dame still get in as a one-loss team? And this is where you bring in the Aggies, right? Because obviously if Notre Dame beats Clemson again without another loss, they're going to be number two right behind Alabama. And those will be your top two teams. Then it's about 3 and 4. At that point, Clemson's out because they've lost to Notre Dame twice. And so then you're looking for number three. So, but let's go with the scenario that Notre Dame wins that game. Excuse me, Clemson wins that game.
Yes.
And
depends on how much, by how much.
And this is where the Aggies come to play, right?
Right.
Because then you have Ohio State. And the fact that Ohio State was behind Clemson this time tells you that the committee is going to look at total games played. They're crediting Clemson for 7 wins and a loss versus Ohio State's just 4 wins, because that's all the games Ohio State has played so far is 4 games. So Ohio State's 3, but I think we all would trust that if Ohio State wins out
they're in
and wins the Big Ten championship
they're
game, they're in.
Right.
So that's team three. Well, then you need a fourth, right? So we've got, but so if your top three are Alabama, Clemson, who beats Notre Dame in the ACC title game to avenge the loss in South Bend, Ohio State, who's four, right? Then that becomes the question. Is it Notre Dame?
If Notre Dame gets beat by two touchdowns, the committee's going to get together and say, you know what? That thing would have never gone to overtime if Trevor Lawrence would have been playing.
Well, the committee will get together, and these are the things they will debate.
They're going to look at that.
Because now you're looking at Notre Dame. Who's four? So if one is Alabama, two is Clemson, three is Ohio State, or
yes,
however you rank them.
Right.
Well, here comes team four. Is it Notre Dame with one loss, that loss being to Clemson, a team that they beat?
If they lose by a field goal, they're in.
Here's A&M. What if A&M runs the table the rest of the way? And remember, A&M has three games, maybe four, to play. A&M plays LSU this week. They haven't played since November 7th. If A&M beats LSU, if they beat Tennessee...
Won't matter.
What do you mean?
It won't matter. If they go undefeated the rest of the way, it's still going to come down to that whole Notre Dame thing. They're going to look at...
Well, let me present the case first, and then you tell me why it won't matter. Because if Notre Dame wins the rest of their games but loses to Clemson in the ACC title game, their resume will be one loss...
Mm-hmm.
A lot of good wins, and then a win over Clemson. Because A&M is in a spot where they still have three games, maybe four, to play. They play LSU this week. They still have to play Auburn.
Yep.
They still have to play Tennessee.
Correct.
In a makeup game. And then it's possible that if they are still a one-loss team at that point and ranked number four or five in the country, wherever they are, the SEC can allow them to play and remake that
Mississippi.
That Ole Miss game.
Yes.
And they would likely play it the same day as the championship games. And the SEC would want them to do that to give the Aggies the best chance to win as many games as possible for total wins and resumes and data points. So that if indeed, because then you'd be arguing A&M with one loss versus Notre Dame with one loss.
Yeah, this happens to be the year that the SEC is kind of top heavy again. Kentucky's not good.
And
Mississippi's not
tie,
good.
Right?
Mississippi State.
How would you break a tie between one loss A&M, whose one loss was at Alabama, the number one team in the country?
Sure.
And then Notre Dame, whose one loss would be to the number two team in Clemson.
It's the beauty contest then. It depends on what that score is of that Notre Dame-Clemson game.
Interesting.
If Notre Dame gets beat by two touchdowns or more, the committee is going to say, if Trevor Lawrence would have played the first time, you would have never got to overtime with a freshman quarterback, because Trevor Lawrence would have still beat you the same way.
That's going to be the question. And then that leads to the Aggies. Because the Aggies, not only loss was to number one in Tuscaloosa, they've got a win over Florida, who's likely to play in the SEC championship.
That's fine.
Game.
But the rest of the teams they played in the SEC aren't that good this year. Arkansas is no good. Mississippi's are no good. South Carolina's no good.
You think it would be Notre Dame over Texas A&M?
I do.
Because they beat Clemson.
But if Clemson lays it down to them, if they beat them and beat them good, then the Aggies are going to get in this deal. But if not, if it's a field goal, they're going to take Notre Dame. They're going to say, you gave us two great ball games.
And so four would be Notre Dame over Texas A&M,
yes,
which would send Texas A&M into the New Year's Six bowls, which would be interesting. So again, that's where it stands. And then you have a team.
But don't
like,
you think that's true? Don't you need to look at that as a beauty contest then?
I would lean your way, but I don't make any guarantees. I think A&M would have a strong argument, especially. I do agree with your point on beauty contest. A&M needs to win and win convincingly here. LSU, they're a two touchdown favorite because the committee is filled up of administrators and former coaches. Former coaches want to see really good football, and if A&M can continue to play like they did before their 3 week break, where they were smashing people, I think there's going to be an argument to be made for Texas A&M Notre Dame.
In this crazy year, just look about the SEC. Look at the teams they have this year. They're not very good. They really aren't. There's Florida. There's Alabama. LSU's not good.
Nope.
Mississippi's not good.
Nope.
Mississippi State.
Nope.
Vanderbilt.
Georgia's not
South
as good
Carolina.
As we thought.
Georgia. Georgia's, they're just not that. Arkansas. They're just not that. Well, they're really kind of top heavy.
Well, who's good in the ACC? That's what I'm saying. Like Notre Dame's best win would be over Clemson, which is a strong win.
Correct.
But it was without Trevor Lawrence, the best player in college football, arguably. That certainly helps. And it was a great game. Double overtime, the whole bit.
Oh, you give me another great
game. I think if A&M is undefeated and they get to play that Ole Miss game on the 19th of December.
You think they'll get the shot?
I think it's a strong – I don't know what the answer would be. I really don't. I don't know how the committee would vote. I think it would be very, very close between 4 and 5. I think it would come down to those teams.
Notre Dame just better not get hammered when they play Clemson again.
Well, obviously, if either loses, then this debate's over.
Well, Lee's got them losing this weekend.
I know. Yeah. So I think the beauty contest is on if the scenario is Alabama beats Florida. But again, if Florida beats Alabama in the SEC championship game, they'll both get in. And you could have it. I don't. Ohio State's going to get in if they win out. I agree
sure they
with you
are.
On that. But I do think having them behind Clemson right now does reveal that the committee's going to look at total number of games played as a criteria, and they're going to credit teams with more wins because, you know, yeah, you have a loss, but, you know, if you've won 9 games versus 6 games, that's a big difference. Coaches know, hey, winning is hard.
Yeah, winning is hard. By the way, there's no Big 12. There's no Pac 12. Nobody else is getting in.
I don't think so. Now, somebody says, what about 8-0 Cincinnati? I just saw where Cincinnati's game with Temple this week has been canceled.
Oof.
For Luke Fickell. But no, I think they're in that. Then it becomes the beauty pageant for the fourth spot. And it's between one loss Notre Dame, one loss A&M, undefeated Cincinnati. The team that got the screw job the most last night, the Tariq El Moussa of the college football playoff last night was BYU. Because that dude, his wife cheated on him with the contractor. The committee came back last night and said, yeah. Hey, 13th or 12th for BYU? BYU getting no love.
None. Not. And by the way, the ones that are in front of them, they could beat half of those. I still believe BYU is really good. They won't have enough games. They went out begging.
Here's what should happen right now. BYU and Cincinnati should go ahead and get a game on the schedule against one another in December.
If there's an open date,
yeah.
Why wouldn't you?
This is 2020. Put that game on the calendar. Let's go.
That'd be a great game.
Wouldn't that be great? And at least those two teams get
in a regular season game. That'd be great.
Because if they're both undefeated, they kind of split the vote a little bit, right? People are saying, "Well, Cincinnati. Well, what about BYU? What about Cincinnati?" Well, guess what, guys? For the good of both of us, let's just eliminate that conversation. Let's play.
Yeah, if you got an open date, go get it. Why not?
And Luke Fickell and BYU would say, "All right, let's do it." And
I bet you
then
Luke
that settles it. And then the winner.
I'm saying Fickell would play that game.
I think they both would. But I mean, I think BYU, after what they saw last night, would like to play it.
Sure, they would.
They need more resume points. Okay, well, if Cincinnati's 10-0, we get to play them. What if we beat them? Does that give us any more cred?
I like that thought.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be kind of cool. But that's where it stands. The first rankings announced last night, the final rankings are scheduled to be announced on December the 20th.
And guys, nothing OU can do to get in the final. Nothing.
Nothing.
Two
losses.
Dang, that.
I don't mean if the world turns upside down, which we've seen it happen this year.
Or if Lee is talking about.
Yeah, I mean, if upset, you know, weekend comes here. But
They've had to jump Cincinnati and everybody else.
I think the Big 12 is
cooked. Yes.
Cooked. Playing for the New Year's One Bowl.
Playing for Ambrosia.
Even if Oklahoma continues to smash people and whoever they play, Texas in the Big 12 title game, they're going to have a claim that we're one of the four best teams, but, you know, the two losses are going to get them.
Be playing in the Ambrosia Bowl.
I would go to the Ambrosia Bowl if all you did is play Ambrosia's yacht rock music.
Good grief.
That would be phenomenal.
Great.
All right, so that's where it stands for the college football. Big picture for the Longhorns is they need a win on Friday, coming off a 20-day layoff against Iowa State. We'll talk more about that game coming up. Also, quick conversation with our buddy Tom Gimbel from the Austin City Limits Television Show. Quick update on where you can catch some great live music through the holiday weekend. The 4-day weekend off. Tom will help us with that. Also, the Grammy nominations out yesterday. What were the surprises there for him on that front? Plus, we've got, Bucky's big picks of the week. We got to make our big picks. You know that, right?
Yes.
We are in the John McClellan Supreme Lending Picks for Charity. Of all the teams, you and I think there's like
numero
12
uno.
Different teams. We are number one right now.
There we go.
We are number one in overall
we
record.
We should be. We're the smartest group of pickers here on this station.
Yeah, we're kind of care, and we're, you know, all the shows on the Horn have a team. We do. Light the Tower, Shirts and Skins,
I know.
RBKD.
They're very stat-minded folks, so.
We're carrying the Horn.
It's our heart. We feel the heart thing.
Hey, guys, our backs are hurting over here, carrying you
really?
Two.
That's true.
We're against Coke FM and John and his team. And so we'll have our picks for the weekend because we won't do a show on Friday. It'll be Texas pregame come Friday, so we'll make those picks for the end of the show. It's B&E on the Horn. B&A with you on a Wednesday, and Wednesday at just after 9:30, we're always lucky enough, fortunate enough to have Tom Gimbel, the Austin City Limits Television Show's general manager, to talk some live music in the live music capital of the world, and that is a great track off the deluxe edition of the Black Pumas album that has now been nominated for Album of the Year and Record of the Year at the Grammys, which is really, really cool, and that is... The Black Pumas' debut album, they were up for the Grammy last year for Best New Artist. They re-released the album with a deluxe edition, which added 6 or 7 new songs, including that song there called Red Rover. Also had a great cover of the Tracy Chapman classic Fast Car. Also a cool cover of Eleanor Rigby, the great Beatles classic. But that earned them back into 2020-2021 Grammy consideration. And they've been nominated for Best Record and Best an Album of the Year, as we mentioned. And joining us on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline, powered by the great folks at Lagshot Golf and the Lagshot Golf Trainer, he is Tom Gimbel. Tom, good morning.
Good morning. How huge is that for Austin's own Black Pumas, Record of the Year?
That's the biggest category, right?
It's a big, big deal, Album of the Year, and then Record of the Year for the song Colors is just phenomenal for them. And I'm so proud of them, as all of Austin should be. Adrian Quesada, Eric Burton of Black Pumas, certainly well-deserving. But, what this typically does, and it's going to be interesting to see how the Grammys operate this year. The show is at the end of January. I'm assuming it's not what we've always had, the full house at the Staples Center. I don't know if it's going to be a virtual show or how they're going to do it. But what being nominated for Album of the Year and Record of the Year typically means is that you are going to get a feature performance slot on the Grammys, which is the most watched music event of the year and highly reactive when it comes to album sales and things like that. So they should expect a huge boost, not just from the nomination. What's really special is that televised performance. And, that Grammy performance is for many artists, as we look back in time, is a moment that can just catapult you into another level. So that's what's really exciting about it. And again, really well-deserved and interesting categories this year. I mean, there's some people that are not household names that are up for some of the big awards. I mean, you look at Album of the Year and you see Coldplay and Taylor Swift and that makes sense. But then you look around and Jacob Collier and Haim, and Black Pumas crash party, which is awesome.
Yeah,
it's an interesting year in music. I mean, it's certainly been an interesting year in every way imaginable. But the Grammys are kind of this is a shift, in that some pretty big names were snubbed. People like BTS, that had a huge song. Are not in any of the major categories, and then there's some up and comers that are up for the biggest awards, which is very cool. It's going to be an interesting night for sure.
The biggest night in music with the Grammys and the Black Pumas. You're right on about that. Live performance that can really catapult an artist to superstardom, and that's the thing about that Black Pumas album. That's why we've been recommending it to folks. It's so appealing and it's so listener friendly. I mean, you're going to love every song, and the more exposure they get with that album and their next and their coming albums, they're just such a great band and so easy to listen to. Eric Burton has such a great voice, so whatever they do is going to sound great. Hey, so Tom, let's get some live music for the upcoming week. We'll also get some more thoughts on the Grammys, but there is some live music. Folks got some free time with the holiday weekend. Where are you sending folks? I do see one of my faves and good buddies is at Green Hall this weekend. Give us some picks for folks to get out and see some live music if they got some time on their hands.
Yeah, sure. Tonight, a great live streaming event with Drive-By Truckers, the band out of Athens, Georgia. A lot of fans for Drive-By Truckers. They're going to be doing a live stream tonight at 8 p.m. And then our friend Wade Bowen is going to be down at Green Hall at 8 p.m. tonight. Get outside, see some live music there out at Green Hall. I believe this is going to be an acoustic trio for him, so not the full band, probably a little more storytelling, which is really cool with Wade because he's a great storyteller, as you can hear in his songs, and he's got some history, and I'm sure he'll be sharing that. So that's a cool show tonight out at Green Hall. Tomorrow, obviously, is Thanksgiving, A lot of folks, right around 3 or 4 is when a lot of people are doing their Thanksgiving meal. And Josh Groban, always a good voice for the holidays, he's going to do a 3 p.m. Streaming event tomorrow. So that's a free event that you can tune into if you are a fan of Josh Groban, or your wife or your mom is a fan of Josh Groban. You can tune in on that. Dua Lipa on Friday is doing a live stream, and she is another one that's been nominated multiple times. Big year for her. So that's going to be one of the bigger live stream events of the weekend. Dua Lipa at 2:30 p.m. And then this is a really great benefit. It's called Home Cooking for the Holidays, and it benefits HOME, which is a nonprofit providing assistance to Austin musicians over the age of 55. So some of our older Austin musicians benefit from the charity that is called HOME. And the show is just packed with big names: Marsha Ball, Ray Benson, Sarah Brown, Gina Chavez, Charlie Crockett, Jesse Dayton, Mike Flanagan, Joe Ely, Ruthie Foster, Ray Wiley Hubbard, who both just appeared on Austin City Limits. And Ruthie Foster was nominated for a Grammy, another hometown star that is going to be featured on the Grammy. So that's a really good live streaming event. That's Friday at 7 p.m. If you are down in Buda and you want to get out to Buck's Backyard, this is a great show. Reverend Horton Heat and Dale Watson. Two great artists, one night, 9 p.m. at Buck's Backyard, outside down there in Buda. And then a couple more live music shows if you want to actually get out and see some socially distanced, safe live music. Paul Coffin, who's just got all the buzz going right now in town, 9 p.m. at Antone's on Saturday night. And then Gary P. Nunn of the Lost Gonzo Band, and the writer of the unofficial theme song of Austin City Limits for so many years, London Homesick Blues, Home with the Armadillo, with Gary P. Nunn at Green Hall Saturday night at 9 p.m. You know, if you do have folks visiting, I know there's not a lot of travel going on, and we're supposed to be safe and distanced, you know, but if you do have some folks and you want to get out and see some live music, you know, someone from out of town getting a chance to go to Antone's or getting a chance to go to Green Hall, those are legendary rooms right here in Central Texas. That
sounds like we lost our phone. There's Tom Kimball. Phone died, but we appreciate Tom. And that's I can finish his point. If you do have some family in town, do it safe, do it smart. There you go, Tom. Tom, you're back. We lost you for a second.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
We got you. We got you. Loud and clear. So, yeah, get out to Antone's and Green Hall, and a great opportunity right there. It's Tom Kimball, the general manager of the Austin City Limits television show, always brought to you by Lagshot Golf and the Lagshot Swing Trainer. By the way, the Lagshot folks, Tom, have a Black Friday sale, their lowest price ever on that swing trainer. As we tell you, I have one. Tom has one. If you want to get your swing and groove of your swing, it's the only swing training tool is you can actually hit balls on the driving range with, and it teaches you tempo, teaches you the lag, and as they always say, if you can hit that ball pure with that Lagshot trainer, that's when you know your swing is right. And they're having a Black Friday event online at lagshotgolf.com, and you'll then find out what just 12 swings can do for your golf game with the blue-shafted driver. Tom, anything else as we wrap up here as our live music update on a Wednesday?
You know, the last pick, Band of Heathens on Sunday night at ACL Live at the Moody Theater. They're celebrating their 15th anniversary, so that'll be a good show. ACL Live has been doing some lounge-type series, kind of spreading the audience out there. Great place to see live music on a Sunday night. Band of Heathens is our last pick for the week. Yeah, I mean, talk about Lagshot. I've been using it for a month or two now and got out on the course last week and was, you know, the best and most enjoyable round of golf I've ever played. It really just gets you in the groove. You start hitting the ball like you're supposed to hit it. Your swing is in the right tempo, on the right plane, and it seems simple. You know, you get out there, you swing that club 12 times, and your body starts to learn. It learns that feel, and then you take it out on the course, and it really works. I am a big fan of Lagshot Golf, and you can obviously check that out at lagshotgolf.com. Like you mentioned, the Black Friday sale coming up.
All right, Tom, appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving to you and the fam and everyone. We appreciate you every Wednesday. I know you're a busy guy, and we thank you very, very much.
My pleasure, guys. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
All right, there's Tom Gimbel, the longest-running music television show in the world of all time, Austin City Limits TV, which is pretty cool. We'll come back. When we do, we got to make our big picks. It's our final show of the week. Of course, we'll be off tomorrow on Thanksgiving, back on Friday with Texas pregame of Iowa State. But we got to make our picks today on the big games of the weekend, including the Cowboys and Washington football team. Coming back, Benny.
Cheers to savings.
Tomatoes, lamb,
rice, beans,
potatoes, tomatoes,
it's
chicken,
Bucky and Aaron.
Beans, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb,
what is that song saying? I'm down with that.
Chicken, green peas, tomatoes, and bacon, cheese, D's.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody, and thank you to Tom Gimbel. Also, just saw a terrible piece of news break. Just dropping from San Marcos, Texas State football player Cambrail Winters was killed in a shooting in San Marcos overnight. Actually happened about 9:15 last night.
Oh, goodness.
Down in an apartment complex in San Marcos. He was a freshman, all Sunbelt honorable mention last year, but got hurt his knee in training camp this year, so he's been out rehabbing that knee, but shot and killed last night. City police are asking if you have any information, please contact them. But really, really sad news there for
that's not Dick, good news during Dick's the holiday Babitone season. Oh,
terrible news.
Bad for that whole family and that whole family of football and the university.
Honorable mention, all Sunbelt last year out of Houston, A. Leif Taylor High School, just 19 years old. So thoughts and prayers there to the Texas State football family, Jake Spavital, and certainly to his family, Cambrail Winters, this morning. So sad news there. Also, the very sad news on this Wednesday, reports from Dallas. We told you that the Cowboys strength conditioning coach Marcus Paul was rushed to a hospital yesterday after an immediate medical incident, the Cowboys called it. And according to a Facebook post on his daughter's Facebook page, Marcus Paul is currently on life support and battling for his life and asking for prayers because they need a miracle, she said in a Facebook post. So obviously very, very serious situation there. That's why the Cowboys canceled their practice yesterday. Cowboys will play the Washington football team tomorrow, and we'll certainly have heavy hearts because Marcus Paul's been the strength conditioning coach there since 2018. Actually was retained when Jason Garrett and his staff were let go. Mike McCarthy kept Marcus Paul. And as you know, Buck, strength conditioning coaches are as close to the players as anybody.
Oh,
they spend
sure.
more time with the players than really anybody else. So this obviously will have a heavy impact on the Cowboys as a team. So we'll keep an eye on that today. As it moves forward, and we say a prayer that direction as well to lift up for the Paul family. Even Ron Rivera, who the Cowboys play tomorrow, the head coach in Washington, he sent a note statement saying praying for his former teammate. They played together in Chicago with the Bears because Marcus Paul played a long time, 10 years in the NFL. So a couple of heavy stories on this.
Marcus Paul, defensive lineman?
I think he was a defensive back.
Okay.
Out of Syracuse.
Oh, I remember him at Syracuse.
Yeah, he's 10 years younger than you. He's 54
yeah.
years old.
He was an All-American at Syracuse, I believe, at safety.
Yes. Yes, he's out of Osceola High School in Florida, Kissimmee, Florida.
Yeah.
Went to Syracuse, All-State quarterback and defensive back there yep. in high school, and then at college played football. Yeah, defensive back.
Hmm.
So, sad news there. So we're keeping an eye on that story. We also need to make picks, Buck, before we get out of here, because this is our final show of the week.
Yes. We'll,
not the final show of this day, though. Light the Tower is coming up next with Jeff and Craig. And Craig's got a busy day today. Craig is going to do Light the Tower. He also will be calling the Texas women's basketball game today at 1 o'clock at the Irwin Center when the Texas women take on SMU. That is a game you'll hear over on 105.3 The Bat. All Texas women's games appear live there on The Bat. And then tonight, Craig will call the Texas men's basketball game. They will take on UT Rio Grande Valley. That is a 7 o'clock tip, 6:30 pregame right here on the Horn. So the guys from the afternoon show, the triple option, RBKD, will take you all the way up to the 6:30 pregame of Texas and UT Rio Grande to start the busy sports weekend. That includes the Cowboys tomorrow, Buck, and that's where we start our picks for the John McClellan and Supreme Lending Pick'em Contest. We're not going to have John with us today, but you and I are going to make our picks because we are the best team in the league right now. We are leading the pack at 29-11, I believe what our picks are right now. They're 29 and yeah, I think that's our record. I got to look at it, but we're the leaders.
We're leading the league.
Most more wins than anybody else. 29-21, I think, is our record, or something like that. But Buck, the picks we're going to go with, the games we have. Who do we like? You like, well, you like Dallas in the Washington
for sure.
game, right?
I like Dallas.
I'm a little leery of that game. I have to tell you,
you should not be, because that's my pick of the weekend.
Really?
Yes.
You're that confident in the Cowboys, even with this terrible story that's come down. Obviously, that'll affect.
It's a terrible story, but they're going to ride the momentum. They're going to do this for their strength and conditioning coach. This is the perfect storm for them to just knock out Washington. This week. Tomorrow's a big win for the Cowboys. They try to move in and stay in first place other three teams.
They'll be the first team in the division to four wins in the late November, which is incredible. The entire division is sitting with three wins total, each of them. So 12 total wins in the division. Big game there. So we take Dallas. The only thing that concerns me with Washington is that their defense and their front seven is excellent. They beat the Cowboys 25-3 earlier this year, and the Cowboys could not move the football. Like, they could not block.
Zeke will be engaged. He's engaged now.
Well, they got to have somebody block for him. And the offensive line has been better, because that was the same fear with the Pittsburgh game, right? And the Cowboys did a nice job holding up against that Pittsburgh defensive front. T.J. Watt and company, and Zeke had a decent game there, and the Cowboys nearly won that game. So it does give you confidence. And then they just turn around and beat Minnesota.
Right.
The Vikings in that great come-from-behind win, 31-28. So we take Dallas in that pick. John McClellan, Supreme Lending, pick them. Friday, Buck, North Carolina, Notre Dame. Any doubt? Are we going with Lee Sterling in North Carolina, or are we going Notre Dame?
I'm going to Notre Dame.
To win the game.
Yeah.
I think they run the ball better. I do think this has a chance to be a pretty good shootout.
Oh, I think it's going to be high scoring.
Because Sam Howell is a really good quarterback. I would lean over in this game.
And so is the Notre Dame quarterback
now. Ian Book's playing really confident football.
Yes.
But something about Mack Brown in these big games have been, you know, Mack Brown is an historian of the game. He loves the history of college football, and there's not a more historic program than Notre Dame. So, you know, he'll have his team amped up and ready to play.
He has to, because he's lost some scrubby games, too.
He has. But I do agree with Lee Sterling's point that they do tend to get up to the competition. They've played down to a team like Virginia this year,
where they look like just terrible.
But they still have some pretty good players, and Mack Brown tends to be a pretty big game coach. So that'll be a fun game. That's Friday at 2:30. Also, LSU A&M. Any chance we're taking the Bayou Bengals?
No.
We got Aggies?
We got Aggies.
And I will say, as I was picking the college games, it was hard to find three college games to pick, because we just did two college games, because all the lines are huge. All the lines across college football are massive.
I mean, like with Roll Tide.
And we're not allowed to put Texas on the list, because you know, some people don't want to pick the Texas game on the contest. I don't know what that's
I understand
all about.
That.
Because that's a 1 or 2 point line.
Yeah.
And we'll make our official pick on Texas, Iowa State, coming up on Friday. All right, Buck, other games we're doing, back to the NFL, Sunday afternoon, high noon, Tennessee 7-3 at Indianapolis 7-3. In Indy. Indy fresh off the big win over Green Bay. Tennessee's fresh off the huge overtime win over Baltimore. That's a really good game on
Sunday. Let's go ahead and take the Titans. Let's just really believe in it.
Did you see the Colts beat them down on a Thursday night in Tennessee?
Let's just take them this time.
No.
No?
You want Vrabel? Phillip Rivers or Ryan Tannehill?
Vrabel will fight that old Reich.
I watched him play on that Thursday night game, and it wasn't that close.
All right, let's take the Colts.
All right, we'll take the Colts.
What
and then Pat Mahomes, Patrick Mahomes against Tampa Brady.
Old-ass Tom Brady.
Chiefs at Buccaneers Sunday afternoon.
We'll take the Chiefs.
Chiefs.
Yes.
Okay, so our official picks in the Pick'em contest are in.
Yes.
We've got Notre Dame, Texas A&M, Dallas, Indianapolis, and Kansas City. A lot of favorites there, I will tell you.
Roll Tide this weekend.
They play Auburn, Iron Bowl, 2:30, Saturday.
Good game.
It's a great weekend. Thankful for you folks. We know that every single day. If you find us, however you do, on 104.9 and 101.9 and the Horn app, hornfm.com, the podcast. Appreciate you every single day. Buck, appreciate you.
Appreciate you,
Happy
guys.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. And
please, be careful.
The entire Godbolt clan and family. Isaiah Collier, appreciate you. Happy Thanksgiving to you and the Collier family. And to all of you out there, happy Thanksgiving. We will talk next on Monday on the B&E Show, the show of the people. Of course, we'll be back for Texas pregame for Iowa State on Friday morning. Have a great Thanksgiving. Light the Tower is next.